We're happy to have a chance to take an interview with an anarchist from Belarus about the situation there. Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, I think. Yeah, thanks for asking.
There are protests in Belarus going on already 3 months. How can you assess the situation? Is it lost already, or there is a chance that mustache guy will go away? And if, then how to reach this point, and what is the strategy?
I think there are a lot of different opinions on what is going on right now. There are these turbo optimists who believe that whatever is happening on the streets, whatever is happening in the world, Lukashenko is gone anyway, because he did some mistakes that are not going to in any way be, he won't be able to fix those mistakes, right? And there are pessimists who are saying, okay, everything is lost and we are lost and just run away for your life. And I think I'm, and a lot of people I know are somewhere in between. From one side, we believe that there is a lot of possibilities still to fight back Lukashenko and actually win the struggle. But on the other side, the dynamic of the movement, of course, changed in the last 3 months. It was really exhausting 3 months. There are people who are gone from the streets. Over 17,000 people migrated from the country, at least. Thousands and thousands were prosecuted. So repressions are working. And as a result of that, for example, the last Sunday march was really small in comparison to the ones before, with over 1,000 people detained. Right now, also, the government is doing, the regime is going like full-scale repressions. They are basically arresting everybody they can. And before, they were really careful with whom they repressed, who they attack, and so on. And the violence, of course, is the more you arrest, the more escalation of violence is happening from the side of the police. There is this notion for really a lot of people, for the majority of the demonstrators, that the violence shouldn't be applied. We should be like as peaceful as we can. And the only way we can resist is actually shout at the cops and so on and so forth. Of course, there is another side that is more proactive. But right now, this is the dominating mood. And this dominating mood of peaceful resistance without anything. Like, it's not even a peaceful resistance. It's more like a really non-resistance on the streets. This mood is losing for sure.
And is there any ideas of the strategy in an anarchist movement?
Right now, the main goal of the anarchist movement is basically to survive, and somewhere in between trying to do certain things. But in the last weeks, the repressions went higher than they were normally before, and it just paralyzed quite a big part of the movement and just like focused us on anti-repression work. But of course, on the other side, there is still a lot of cooperation going on between the anarchists and different protest groups. Yeah, we're still trying to resist in the way we can, but I wouldn't say that there is a certain strategy that would bring us the victory in this struggle. And this strategy is lacking not only from the anarchists. The whole movement is basically without any strategy. Our strategy is not having a strategy, basically, and going on Sunday, every Sunday to the streets and just marching and then going back home and hoping that this will be enough to overthrow the dictatorship. So I think with the crisis going bigger inside of the protest movement, we can see that there are more and more people getting together to figure out, okay, what are we going to do next?
Standard question. Are there leaders of the protests? And if yes, if it's possible to build alliances with them?
I wouldn't say that there are any certain leaders. I would say that a couple of Telegram channels have this potential of mobilizing the people to the streets and saying, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. But we've seen also through the protests in the last months that people are deciding by themselves. Really, sometimes it can be really in a kind of like passive aggressive way, right? These big channels are calling, hey, let's block the roads on this day, and nobody's coming up. And then you know that, okay, the mobilization potential is there, but people do not accept this form of the protests. And they are basically like showing it by not showing up. As for this you know, typical protest leaders like politicians and so on, they are lacking. This Tikhanovskaya, for example, is not capable of becoming a political leader that would lead the country to the bright future. The anarchists as a political group playing quite an important role for the radical part of the protesters. But at the same time, there are no leaders in the anarchist movement, so there are no talking heads that would call people on the barricades and so on. Certain NGOs are trying to be, you know, a driving force, at least in the striking movement, which is making it a little bit more complicated to deal with. But in general, it still stays kind of leaderless, but it also stays not really well organized. Because as we can know from other countries, the leaderless protests can be quite militant and quite well organized and quite offensive. Not only burning barricades, but offensive in the sense of like setting up the goals and reaching something. Like for example, Hong Kong, which didn't win, but they were really showing the example of horizontal organizational structures. In Belarus, that's not the case. There is this momentum that was lasting for the last 3 months with the Sunday protests. There were certain smaller groups that were organizing other protests, for example, the women marches. But all in all, it was just walking on the streets. We don't have strategy. We just walk on the streets and hope that it's going to work. And for the state, it was a perfect strategy because we also saw this, you know, typical capital against the other cities approach where most of the journalists were reporting about repressions only in the capital. This made possible the repressions against the smaller cities really easy. So the cops just first suppressed the whole movement in the smaller cities and then went to the capital. And this was another, let's say, fuck up of the whole protest movement that we had.
And you already mentioned the repressions against anarchists and or the anarchist movement. Can you tell what are the main repression tactics of the state and how many anarchists are in prison right now?
There is a certain, let's say, big group of people from the anarchist movement who are outside of the jail. They are quite active right now and they are doing their best on the streets. At the same time, we have right now nine anarchists who are awaiting for trial on the criminal charges, on mass rioting, beating up the cops, but also 4 people under suspicious, but they will be charged next days for terrorism, which is basically like an extreme side of the political prosecution where the terrorism article was used for burned down police station. And in Belarus, prosecution for terrorism is up to the death penalty. And they are facing these charges exactly in the part where the death penalty can be applied. Then at least 4 anti-fascists are now awaiting for the trial for attacking the police and participating or organizing the mass riots. Apart from that, there is a group of people who are serving short-term arrests. This is like for participating in a legal demonstration. You can get up to 25 days in prison. Some people are serving right now 15 days for that. They are, I think, 8 people right now. Some of them are getting rearrested depending on the mood of the political police. So you can get out of the jail and then they will come and say, oh, you were doing illegal demonstration in front of the prison when you got out. So you're going back to the prison. But all in all, just locking up people is one of the most effective strategies that the cops are using right now by thousands. Not talking only about the anarchists, talking about just general protesters, just putting as many people as possible in the prison and just putting them through this crazy mill. And then when you're in prison, there is a huge fucking problem with the coronavirus right now. There is basically like a pandemic. Everybody who comes out from those fucking prisons are getting troubles with health. I think at least half of the people that got released a couple of days ago are having right now problems with health. So half of the anarchists, I don't know like how big is the population of those people who are getting released, but in general, they're not releasing people who have coronavirus, for example. One of the people who was in prison who got tested from the anarchist movement positive on coronavirus was not released and put in the hospital. Rather than he was just put in the single cell. And all the people that he was in touch were just staying in the cell. That means that the whole virus keeps on, you know, spreading and spreading and spreading. So this is one of the other ways. Like, first you go through the short-term arrests of 15, 20 days, and then you are ending up in trouble with your health when you're getting out. The other way that happened, the other thing that happened 2 weeks ago is prosecution under criminal articles. They had over 300 people arrested during the demonstration as if it was like under charges of illegally demonstrating. But then they said, oh no, we are charging everybody. We're not charging, but we are putting everybody as suspects in participating in the mass riots. So now just in one day, you got like 250 suspects of mass rioting, and the people are also scared of that. They are not scared anymore of the short-term arrests, so they are ready to go to the prison. But when it comes to years in jail against the protest, in many cases they decide, okay, we'd rather not protest and stay free than be under threat of this of the criminal prosecution. This happens, and I mean, the last but not the least is the direct violence. People are getting beaten up on the streets, just really smashed. They're still getting beaten up in the police station, in the prison. This whole thing that was happening in the first 3 days, where a lot of people were tortured and so on, is still happening. It's not happening in such a concentrated way as it was back then, but it's still happening by hundreds. So hundreds of people are getting really in really harsh conditions when they are ending up in prison.
Is it possible also to find out how the person with coronavirus is feeling him? Like, is it possible for whatever lawyer or somebody to check it up?
That's another interesting point, that certain prisons are actually on the lockdown. So the lawyers are not able to enter actually the prison and figure out, hey, what is going on with my client? And the person who had coronavirus, the anarchist, he actually got out and he's feeling better right now. But this is the person who has like attention from the political part of the protest, right? And we don't know how many people are in prison who do not have this attention, who are just do not have this solidarity that the anarchist and anti-fascist movement enjoys from within itself, from within the anarchist movement.
Can you give a little bit more details about this case with four anarchists which were arrested at the Ukrainian border, and about death penalty punishment in Belarus? How real is it and how fast it could be done?
Talking about the death penalty in Belarus, let's start from the end. Belarus is the last country in Europe that has death penalty, never changed it. And I think 2-3 people per year are getting executed in the country, mostly for the murder. The last terrorist case we had, so there was one terrorist case in the history of Republic of Belarus. That case was prosecuted like on the closed doors, and those people were also executed. Execution is happening with a gun, so they're shooting you in the head. Really kind of a humane perspective from the Belarusian regime. Nobody knows when it's happening. The relatives are just getting a call and saying, okay, your son or your friend or whatever is dead, and you should come and take his belongings. But they don't even know
where...
No, you don't get the body. The body is actually buried in place inside of the prison, I think, in KGB prison or something like that. So you don't get the body. Yeah, congratulations from the state. The case with the Belarusian anarchist partisans is the case of the four people: Dmitry Rizanovich, Dmitry Dubovsky, Sergei Romanov, and Igor Alenevich. These are quite a well-known anarchist within the certain circles. Two of them were living in Belarus at the moment when the whole thing was happening. Two of them were outside. Dubovsky was actually on the run for the last 10 years. In 2010, he was charged with several arsons. And Alenevich was living outside of Belarus in Poland for some time after serving 5 years in Belarus in prison, also for the arsons. So they all got together at a certain point, and they did several direct actions on the territory of Belarus. They burned down several police cars of the prosecutor's office. They burned down a building, not the whole building, but certain part of the building of the state prosecutor expertise, where they do all the DNA analysis and all the shit. So they burned down. This happened in Soligorsk. They did that in solidarity with the striking workers who were at that point actually repressed by the police. And then they burned down a road police station in Mozyr, which is also a small town in Belarus. And the last attack was somehow used by the Belarusian state to say, okay, we are going to prosecute all the arsons that are going to happen after that as a terrorist attacks. And we are going to use this attack attack as an example of the terrorism. This appeared in the media and nobody actually gave attention to that because nobody was arrested during this attack, and it kind of passed. But then one week later, the news appeared that Igor Alinevich was detained with several other people next to the Ukrainian border on the Belarusian side by the border guard. And they were all brought to the KGB building, to the KGB office in Minsk, and they are now in the KGB prison, which is like a separate prison inside of the secret police headquarter. And there you have like 50 places for the top targets of the Belarusian regime, let's say, from top political targets. So they are there. We do not know a lot about what is happening. We know that they're not getting tortured and so on and so forth. We know that some of them are admitting the guilt and they are saying, yes, we are the revolutionary anarchists that came to Belarus to fight against the regime. That's their position. And some of them are saying, no, we do not admit any guilt. We are not talking to the police. Fuck you, you fucking KGB pigs. So that's the situation. And they are not charged yet. So they are suspects in the terrorist case. However, it is highly likely that in a couple of days, they will be charged with the terrorism article. The prosecution can take years. The thing is that right now, there are over 300 criminal cases started against the different, let's say, actions that were done during the protests. Oh, no, sorry, 300. It's actually today, it was a report over 900 cases. And that means prosecution, all the investigation processes and so on and so forth. And you need the fucking judges who will be sitting and reading all the case and so on and so forth. So this can take really long time if the regime stays. And that's basically our main hope, that those people are not getting prosecuted as well as nobody else in future, because we will manage to get rid of Lukashenko and the prisons will be open and at least the political part of the prisons will be released.
Okay, but there are still also neighborhood meetings going on and that people can join and talk with others in their yards and so.
Yeah, this is happening for sure. But it also happens, it's also like really focused on the capital. Most of these neighborhood assemblies or smaller yard assemblies are happening in the capital where they are so en masse that for the police it is extremely hard to prosecute or to repress those. And in the smaller towns, there are only few. And from time to time, the cops are coming and just arresting people and leaving and dispersing the crowd. So this is happening, but there is also a weird dynamic within this neighborhood assemblies. It is not your, you know, South American neighborhood assembly where people are coming together and they are like super politically aware and they know why they're gathering and they want to discuss the politics and want to discuss what is going to happen next days and how to fight, rather than around like 30-40% of all the assemblies are happening around organizing the concert, a party, and drinking tea with the cake and so on and so forth, like really staying away from political organizing. And really small part, I think like 10% of all what is happening in Minsk is actually about organizing politically, about organizing certain political power, let's say, that can actually fight back the government. And it's really slow process. It is not like people are getting together and they are from one day to another forming up some groups and they know what they're doing. Rather than this is like a really slow step-by-step process that may take years actually before it forms up and shapes. And the state might be faster in repressing them than they actually forming up a certain repression-resistant structures.
And my last question is how the people who listen to this interview can from all over the world support an anarchist movement in Belarus or the protests itself?
I think the easiest way everybody does that, it's super simple. You just donate money and everybody's like, this is the way to support the people for a lot of anarchists, but also liberals and everybody politically. How can you support Belarusians? You just pass like 50 euro. This is easy. And we actually encourage people to go beyond that and think how can they actually through their actions, not only through the money, can support the movement by doing like small solidarity actions, organizing bigger protests in their cities, targeting business that is working with Belarusian regime, targeting politicians that are working with the Belarusian regime. And those are not only in Russia and in Ukraine or in some crazy authoritarian Kazakhstan or whatever. Those people that are actually working together with the Belarusian dictatorship are everywhere. In the liberal democracies, in the European Union, in US, whatever, they are there and they can be targeted by your direct action campaigns, and they will be actually giving feedback to the regime. Okay, we can't work with you because there's too much pressure on us out here. There are embassies. There are people who are working in the embassies. There are people who are working for regime and traveling. All the fuckers from the Belarusian, let's say, the whole Belarusian regime loves to travel to the Europe. You know, they love authoritarian government, but at the same time, they love to go to Austria for their skiing vacation. So research a little bit, figure out, okay, there are big politicians, big business coming from Belarus to your resort or to your city, to village, whatever, and put pressure and let the people know that they are not welcomed because they are fucking crazy bastards that are killing people in their own country. Be creative, and through creativity, you will find your own struggle.
Do you have anything else important to add?
Yeah, there is actually about support, forgot. There is a fundraising campaign starting to support the Belarusian anarchists with money to actually provide people with underground flats, to provide people with the infrastructure for the protests, to provide people with psychological support as well. And this will be published, I think, together with the interview. So I will send you a link and people can donate as much millions of dollars as they want so we can buy the tanks and just go and tank the fucking palace of the president. And keep on watching. I think everybody knows who won in US right now, so we can get our eyes away from this fucking monster in the politics and get back to the politics that are happening all around the world. Keep watching what is happening in Belarus. Spread the news. This is the struggle that is not only connected to the small country. This is the struggle that is connected to the Europe. This is also the struggle for a certain type of values that is going on, and like this authoritarian values that are trying to settle in the rest of the world. And our victory against the dictatorship can give a new fresh wind to, well, to the revolutionary ideas all around the world as well.
Thank you so much, and our deep solidarity.
Thanks, you too.